Amen. Hallelujah Square. You say, why? I wonder why it'd be called Hallelujah Square. How about this? Hallelujah. Now, some of you, you're going to feel a little awkward at first. You know what? Kind of like Amen Corner. You're going to feel just a little strange at first. And Praise the Lord Circle. You know, you just feel a little odd at first, but you'll loosen up. You got time. Yeah, I mean, really, I understand, you know, it's things will be reversed. You know, you get up to heaven and when somebody scores a touchdown, people just say, right? But Jesus will walk out and will say, well, glory, hallelujah. Amen. See, you know, it'll be different. Things will be reversed a little bit there. Well, anyway, praise the Lord. This is exciting. By the way, if the valley all fills up with water, that'd cause a hallelujah, wouldn't it? Like we just read about. And you know, the Lord does things like that. And I love this story. I'm not talking so much about the valley of ditches. I just want to talk about two words in our text here in 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse 18. He says, and this is but a light thing. I like that. A light thing. I haven't been a light thing for a long, long time. But when I think about things that are big and difficult and heavy, and God says they're a light thing, I like that. Because the way I look at things, honestly, this big army and it being a drought. Of course, we understand drought. Amen. Because we're kind of in a semi-drought right now. But this big army doesn't have any water. Besides that, they're going against the Moabites. They don't stand a chance. King of Israel, he's such a weenie anyway. I mean, he's we're all going to die. You know, people like that. But they're in big trouble. God just said, well, it's just a light thing to me. He said, I'm going to take care of both your problems, and I'm going to do it all, and it's no big deal to me. It's just a light thing. Now, I don't know what your need is today, and I'm not sure, you know, I know some needs here today. And I know some difficulties that people are going through. Let me just tell you again, God says it's just a light thing. I can handle it. It'll be all right. And so I trust God will speak to our hearts today as we talk about a light thing. Father, bless the preaching. Please help me to say what I need to say. Please use me, God. And I pray that you'll bless and speak to our hearts. If there's anyone here not saved, I pray, God, they would see that getting saved is the greatest thing in the world they could do. And I pray they would trust Christ. And I pray for Christians that you'll encourage us, you'll teach us, you'll strengthen us, you'll help us to do what you want us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I remember when I was just a little boy and I would work with my dad try to lift a big old object, you know. And of course, I remember this when my son was little. And the same kind of thing. And you see the straining and trying to get that thing up. And then my dad would walk up and he'd just pick it up. And I'd go, wow. And he'd say, it's not that big a deal. And of course, I remember that with my son. And that's what God wants us to understand. That which is very difficult for us to lift, that burden that is very hard for us to carry, that difficulty that we don't know how in the world we're going to be able to win, we don't know how we're going to be able to do this thing, God just can pick it up and take care of it, and it's just a light thing to Him. Here in this passage, God's people are about to go to war with the Moabites. And they're already outnumbered. There's no match. It's not really going to be a good battle. In fact, they should not probably have even considered this thing. And as it's determined that they're going to go to battle, then they go to a place where there's no water. And as they're traveling and everything, they realize there's no water. And now they're even in more trouble. Verse 9 it says, so the king of Israel went, the king of Judah, the king of Edom. They fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And they're in big trouble now. I mean, not only are they going against an enemy that is better prepared to fight and a larger group of men, they're also now there's no water. And by the way, this is when a lot of people quit. You have a trial, but then you get a trial on top of the trial. You have a problem, but then now the problem's double. You know? And this is when so many people quit. But understand, this is when God said, well, it's just a light thing for me. I mean, this is something I can do, God says. And so, you know, the king of Israel's never proven to be really a great guy. He's never proven in the scriptures to be a great leader. And the king of Israel here, you know, he makes things even worse because of his rotten attitude. Notice in verse 10, he says, I'm on the wrong page here. All right, he says, the king of Israel said, alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. He says, God's called us together and we're all going to die. You know, that's tough when one of the kings, there's three kings here, that's pretty bad when one of them says, we're all going to die. I mean, it's pretty bad when the leaders say, we can't make it. It's pretty bad when the, you know, parents, it's time you show your kids there is a God in heaven. It's time you show your kids that there is a God who, though it may be big for you, though it may be tough for you, though it may be heavy for you, it's time that leaders show the others, hey, you know what? It's just a light thing to God. And the king of Israel, you know, he's having a hard time. And then Jehoshaphat, who is a leader who loved God. He's a leader that God listened to him and would answer his request. And what's he asked for in verse 11? He said, hey, isn't there a man of God somewhere around here? Isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we can talk to? Isn't there somebody that walks with God who can help us get out of this thing? Hey, king of Israel, I know that you're negative. I know that you're a weenie. I know that you're a milksop. I know that you're a coward. I know that you don't have any belief, any trust in God. You don't have the courage to just go out there and fight the battle. But hey, look, let's talk to the man of God, all right? That's not a bad idea. And so they go to Elisha. Now, you know Elisha, he's excited. I mean, he's a good guy. And Elisha has just recently received the mantle from Elijah. And so he's excited about the double portion of power. He's kind of excited about doing some great things for God. Amen. And so Elisha is, you know, and by the way, Elisha is not real excited about the king of Israel either because he's a weenie. Amen. And he's not real excited about the king of Israel, but he says, you know what? Because I respect Jehoshaphat, I'm gonna let the Lord show me what you guys need to do. And sure enough, he calls together, he asks for a minstrel, somebody to play some good Christian music, not rap, not rock, not country and western, not blues, none of that stuff, good Christian music. And he plays the music, and he says this, he says, make the valley full of ditches. And so here's this valley, and he says, make them all full of ditches. I mean, just dig ditches all over that valley. And, you know, obviously, there would be lots of people saying, oh, brother, this guy's a nut. And I'm not going to really deal with that because I'm still on the introduction, but I just can't help but point out to you that, you know, God is always he's very interested in making the valley full of ditches. Amen? He's always interested. Now, I may get back to that. You never know. But then he goes on and he says, make the valley full of ditches. And he said, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. In other words, there's not going to be a storm, not going to be a big rainstorm, nothing like that. But he said, the valley is going to be full of water. It'll be full. You dig the ditches, God's going to fill them with water. And then he says this, he said, but it is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He'll deliver the Moabites also into your hand. So in other words, if we dig these ditches, God says it's just a light thing for him to fill that up with water. And he's going to also deliver the Moabites. We're going to win? So we get a drink of water and don't try to figure it out. God's going to take care of it. By the way, the battle plan here is not one you're going to find in any book of battle plans. The winning of World War I, World War II, the Civil War. You're not going to find this battle plan in any of those books. But it was a great battle plan. What do? Dig ditches. What do? I mean, how are we going to win the battle? We're going to dig the ditches. And God said, it's just a light thing. Now, you know, God has an answer for you too. And God has shown people all over this room, okay, here's my next step. But you've stopped and said, I don't see how that's going to work. I don't see how that's going to happen. Did you know you don't have to see? What you need to do is just get the result. Amen. What you need to do is just trust the Lord. If he says dig ditches, then dig the ditches. Whatever he says to do, just understand it's just a light thing for him. God will deliver. But so many times in Scripture, God's delivery is going to take us doing our part. And digging ditches is to prepare for God to do his part. And that's all they had to do is go out there and dig those ditches. And I love it. The Bible says in verse 21, when all the Moabites heard the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border, and they rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, "This is blood. The kings are surely slain, and they've smitten one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil." And you know, they went and attacked. They came to the camp of Israel. The Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites, even in their country. And they thought that there was blood out there in that valley. They said that the Israelites, these kings, have fought against each other. They've killed each other, and there's blood in the valley. And they went to spoil them. They went to take everything that they had. And they were all defeated. Isn't that something? Say, I wonder why he didn't just turn, he filled that those ditches up with water. Why didn't he just fill it up with blood? Because you can't drink blood. God's good, isn't he? He had that all figured out. That's so good. I want to just show you some things. You know, it was a light thing. It was just a light thing for God to do that. And yet, what a great miracle. I mean, it's an amazing thing that God did. Brought that water down from Edom. And which is rocky and mountainous. It's not like Lake Edom. He didn't bring the water from Lake Edom, Ocean Edom, the Sea of Edom. It's the mountains of Edom is where the water all came from. And it filled up that valley with a beautiful water that to the enemy looked like blood. The enemy attacks. The enemy's defeated. The people have water. The enemy's been defeated. God says, that wasn't so tough. That's what God would say about your problem too. But will you dig the ditches? Will you dig the ditches? We say, wow, that is amazing. God says, it was a light thing. You know, God used the water, God used the sun, and God used man to do an amazing thing. And God didn't even have to really take a break afterwards. It was just a light thing for God. Real quick, let me just show you some things. Number one, we see how God used the water. The water. And again, you know, God tells the water what to do, and the water does it. Water, be there in those ditches. Hey, if there had been one piddly little ditch, God would have put water in it. You know, just a little bit. If there had been one long ditch, God would have filled that thing up. But God said, fill the valley up. And so God filled up the valley with water. Because he said, water, be there. No rain. Not clouds forming over that valley. Not a huge gust of wind blowing that rain in. No, listen to me. The water just was there because the water obeys God. The water does what God says it needs. And it's just a light thing to God. You know, it's just a light thing. You think about the Red Sea parting. And I love that story. I love that miracle. And you know, children of Israel, they're backed into a corner. The Egyptians are coming and they're attacking them. And behind them, there's this Red Sea, and there's nowhere to go. And if they go forward, they're going to drown. If they go back, they're going to be killed. God said, look, just move forward. But he parted the Red Sea so they could move forward. Because he just says to the water, part! And the water parts. Amen. No big deal to God. Do you know the problems that you and I have? They're not really a tough thing for God. God made everything. God just speaks and the water does what he says. God just speaks and the valley's full of water. God just speaks and the Jordan River parts. God just speaks and the Red Sea is parted. God handles the water very well. Just a light thing. See, your need, your trial. You know, when God provided manna, God also knew the people would need water. So where does he get the water from? He just gets it out of a rock. Amen. It's not a big deal to God. You say, oh, we're going to all die of thirst. No, listen. God says, hey, we'll get the water out of a rock. Amen. And then he makes a rock follow him. So they always have water. 3.5 million Jews, 40 years, they drink water from a rock. That's all right, isn't it? Huh? I mean, and you know what? It's a light thing to God. Now, I know our burdens look big, but I don't think they look as big as 3.5 million Jews needing water. I don't think any of us have a burden that looks any bigger than the children of Israel backed up to the Red Sea with nowhere to go. I don't think any of us have more trouble than the people here when the Moabites are about ready to slaughter them and they already are dying of thirst and God takes care of that and God Himself says, it's just a light thing for me. I mean, if God could do that, God can certainly take care of our problem. God can certainly pay that bill. God can certainly help you with your health need. God can certainly take care of that problem that has been bothering you and causes you to wake up in the middle of the night. God, if He can tell the water to just do whatever He says for it to do, He probably can take care of your problem. In fact, I know He can. I mean, if God will give a pillar of a cloud by day for the people to follow and a pillar of fire by night for the people to follow, like a tornado of fire or like a tornado during the day and a tornado of fire during the night so the people can follow. I mean, if He can do that and it doesn't kill them. Amen. You know, if He can do that, He probably could take care of you and I. I got to remind you, though, I'm going to go back to this. Remember, the people had a responsibility too. You know, God doesn't tell us. We talked about this in Sunday school. God doesn't say, "Okay, just lay down, and God's going to take care of you." No, there's things you and I have to do too. He says it's a light thing. Your burden could be a light thing to God. Your trial is a light thing to God. Your the enemy about to destroy you, that's a light thing to God. Because He's mighty, He's omnipotent, He can do anything. And if He can part the Red Sea, if He can give water to 3.5 million Jews for 40 years, and that be just a light thing, I think He could take care of you and I. Amen. Amen. You know, I think about the children of Israel. They came to a place called Marah. And the water was bitter. It was poisonous. They could not drink it. It would make them sick. And they were already very, very thirsty. And here they come to Marah. And there's no water because the water that was there was no good. And it was bitter water, the Bible says. And the Lord showed them a tree. Shows the tree and says, cut down the tree and throw it in. You know, God controls the water. And throwing that tree in that bitter water, the water was healed. Isn't that something? You know, 2,000 years ago, God took a tree we call a cross. And because of that cross, the bitter water that you and I would reap because of our sin, the bitter water of a place called hell, the bitter water of the condemnation for our sins, God makes it clean. And gives us righteousness for our sin because the cross, the tree, is thrown into that bitter water. But again, just like in the Old Testament, God had to show them a tree, God shows us the tree of the cross. And at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. Let me tell you something. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to go to the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross where Jesus died so that we could be saved. You need to come and be saved and trust Him. If your life is bitter, you need that cross. You need that tree. Because it'll clean up that water. What a God. But it's just a light thing. A light thing. Whatever your need today. You know, it's just like to a little child. These things, you know, this piece of wood, a little child can barely get it up and they struggle to get it up. And if they get it up, they can't move with it. And you reach down and pick it and say, that's nothing. That's not that hard. You know, your trials, my trials. I'm reminded when I think of water, I think of the Jordan River. And the people needed to cross the Jordan River. And it's a very, very strong current. And they needed to carry the ark across. And the ark had to go first. And when the ark came, the waters parted. God did that. Because the water does what God says. Everything does. You and I are the only ones that are struggle with that. I mean, a whale goes and swallows a preacher. The donkey does what God says to do. Are you listening? If man had not praised Jesus during the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the Bible says the rocks would have cried out. The rocks would have praised Him. Hello? I'll be honest with you, some of our services, we ought to bring some rocks in. Amen. Be something to see, wouldn't it? You know, the water has to do what He says. We're the only ones that don't do what He says. We're the only ones that argue. Well, I don't know. And you have not because you ask not, and you have not because you do not. God says, hey, these things are a light thing to Me. Dig the ditches. Just dig the ditches. I'm going to take care of both your problems, and it's not a real big thing. Huh? I'm just saying, anything. Look, God can... Do you think God can deal with your bill? Do you suppose God can take care of that need that you have? Do you suppose the God of all heaven who created us, who knows more about us than... I know you're not going to believe this, more than your doctor. Yeah. He knows more than your doctor. You suppose He can take care of things? You know, you say, well, I haven't seen Him do... Well, you're alive. See, here's what I think, and I believe this, Brother Hawkins, with all my heart. I think I've had cancer, and I think God's taken it away. I think I've had all kinds of things, and God just takes it away. All He's got to do is speak. That's all He has to do. He commands the water to part and the Red Sea part. He could part the ocean if He wanted to. Well, I don't. Yeah, you're doing fine, aren't you? You're all right. Well, He hadn't healed this. Well, He doesn't necessarily always heal old age. He said that's what... I mean, there are things that just... They're going to happen, but I'll tell you this. He could and He will when we're on the Hallelujah Square. There won't be any blind people on the Hallelujah Square. There won't be any deaf people on Hallelujah Square. There won't be any cripples. We'll all be running. We'll all be shouting. Won't be anybody that can't shout. You'll just struggle at first. Amen. We'll have amen lessons. We'll have glory to God lessons. We'll have praise the Lord lessons. Okay, everybody, on three. One, two, three. Praise the Lord! Now you're going to have to get a little louder than that. One, two, three. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! It'll be all right. Someday Baptist roots are going to kick into your system. Amen. Well, I'm having a good time. You know, because God can do anything. And I look out at people and there's some folks needing something. God's got to do it. Let me tell you, He says a light thing. A light thing. You know, every one of these things, if the people obey, if they dig the ditches, if they move forward, if Moses speaks to the rock, if they cast the tree in the water, if they carry the ark, every one of those things, God just speaks and it's all taken care of. You do what you're supposed to do. God says, what I'm supposed to do is a light thing. I can handle it. Amen. Amen. Israel had no chance to beat the Moabites. The king of Israel said, we're going to get whooped. Uh-huh. They're dying of thirst. And God says, this is a light thing for Me. The water obeyed God. How about number two, the sun? I like this. The sun. The Bible says that Moabites, verse 22, they rose up early in the morning. The sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Now, you know, I think God said to the sun, be extra red today. Shine so that water looks red. The sun has to obey God. It does. It always does. Isn't that good? I don't know if God has a little knob He turns or what. I think He just speaks. But just for illustration, somebody, you know, Gabriel, turn that knob on the sun. Make it a little red. You know, and the sun, I mean, the water looks red. The Moabites aren't just all stupid. I'm sorry, I shouldn't use that on Sunday morning. Idiots. That's a little more dignified. Neither one's really dignified. Unlearned. How's that? Tonight we'll say stupid. But you know, they're not. I mean, these are soldiers, and they look at the water. You say, preacher, how could anybody think the water's red? Because to them it looked red. They really thought it was blood. And boy, that'd be quite a battle, wouldn't it? I mean, they really thought it was blood. And it caused them to make a very foolish decision. And Moab says, all right, let's go get them. And Israel wins. And God says, that's a light thing for me. Turn the sun red. Make it extra red. That's nothing for God. Huh? You know, when Joshua was fighting the Gibeonites, the battle was taking place, and Joshua, Joshua was winning the battle, but the day was starting to end, and Joshua needed more time, and God told the sun to obey God's man. You say, what happened? Joshua said, "Sun, stand still," and it did. It did. Period. And the day was extended. Amen. By the way, scientists are still trying to figure that out. Study that one sometime. Oh, it happened. Definitely happened. But they just can't explain it. We can. It's in the Bible. But telling the sun to stand still, that's not so bad. You know, that's not hard for God. Hey, what is it you need today? What is it you need today? Look at 2 Kings 20. I like all these miracles. 2 Kings 20. And verse 10, Hezekiah was looking for a sign of healing. 2 Kings 20 and verse 10. How many of you know what a sundial is? Anybody? All right, a couple of you do. Some still scared to death to raise your hand for anything. Well, I'll end up having to work. And no sign-up sheets. And Hezekiah answered... So Hezekiah is looking for a sign of healing. Hezekiah answered, it's a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. In other words, this was going to happen instantly, a 10 degree shift in the sun. But he said, for it to go forward 10 degrees, well, that's nothing. Well, that's still pretty good for time to go that fast. Because it would have been instantaneous for the shadow to move like that. But he said, I want it to go backwards. Oh! You know what? That's a light thing for God too. Because he controls all that. Amen. Okay, son, back up! Amen. That's good stuff, isn't it? I like that. I really do. Hey, you know what? Scientists can't explain that either. But that's a light thing for God. You know, in the New Testament, a fellow needed 3 loaves of bread, and he asked for 3 loaves of bread. And guess what? He got it. Amen. What if he'd have just said, give me some bread? He'd have got some bread, but he needed 3 loaves of bread. Are you listening? I mean, you know, hey, it's time that we ask God for what we want, because whatever it is God's got to do, it's not that hard for God. You know, James says, ye have not, and he says, and one of the reasons you have not is because you pray amiss. What's that mean? Just understand the word, amiss. It means you missed. You missed. Pray for what you need and let God take care of the need. Instead of, oh God, if it be thy will, ask. It's a light thing for God. Amen. Some of you are looking at me. You know, have you ever seen this look? It's a light thing. It's a light thing for God. You know? God used the water. God used the sun. But you know what else God used? He used a man. He used people. And he can do a light thing. You know, for God, it's a light thing. But for us, it's a huge thing. But the man here had to dig the ditches. Amen? The people had to go dig the ditches. And again, if they'd have dug one ditch, that would have been full of water. And by the way, I don't know that that would have impressed the Moabites a whole lot. Right? Would it have provided water? Well, it might have for a few. But very clearly, the man of God said, make this valley full of ditches. And you know what that means? That means you go right along and you dig your ditch, and then you go right next to it and dig a ditch, and you go right next to it and dig a ditch, and you just keep digging ditches until the whole valley's full. They don't know what God's going to do. They don't know how He's going to do it. You know, we so many times say, well, I don't understand. You don't have to understand. You have to understand there's a God that says, I'm going to take care of you, and it's a light thing to me, and it would be a light thing to take care of. But there's something you may need to do. You know, we were talking about Elisha, and of course, Elisha here, you get just a little idea. By the way, Elisha is the one that the little children came out and said, go up thou bald head, go up thou bald head, and two she-bears came out and destroyed him. I love that story. You probably can't guess why. But Elisha had just recently received the mantle and a double portion of God's power. And, you know, Elisha is a guy that he's known for saying, okay, are you serious about this thing? You know, do you really want help? In chapter 2, there's bad water again. And he says, bring me a cruse of salt. Man had to bring the cruse of salt. Otherwise, the water is not going to be any good. Pours the salt in, water's perfect. Again, God did it. Elisha didn't do anything. But a man had to bring the cruse of salt. Chapter 4, right after this, a certain woman, the Bible says, she had a financial need. And he said, what do you have? She said, I have one pot of oil. He said, great. He said, borrow all the vessels you can. Borrow not a few. And boy, she sent the kids out and they went and got all the vessels they could. They had pots and bowls and cups and everything they could get. Every vessel they could find. They brought those things in the house. Amen. I like that. You know, he's just saying, hey, are you serious about this? How serious are you? Well, Elisha, we got a cup. And you know what God did? He filled up every vessel. And if they'd have got a cup, he'd have filled that cup. And if they'd have got two cups, she'd have had two cups of oil. They brought in all kinds of vessels, and God filled every one of them up with oil, and they could sell it, and it met their need. Are you listening? Huh? That's good stuff, boy. You know, I like Elisha. You know, are you serious or not? Hey, king, how serious are you? Okay, king of Israel, we already know. You've decided you're all going to die. Jehoshaphat, how serious are you? Huh? I mean, we have lots of kings of Israel here. It's over. It's done. You know what? It is. It really is. We ought to go ahead and buy the flowers. Done. You know, I ought to just go ahead and buy a whole bunch of cards and say, sorry, it didn't work out. Amen. Because some of you, that's how it is. I mean, you've already decided it's over. Dear king of Israel, sorry it didn't work out. Love, pastor. Hello? Sorry it didn't work out. Sorry you lost everything. Sorry you couldn't pay that bill. Sorry that your health is no good. Because that's already what you've decided. Dear Mrs. King of Israel, I'm sorry that nothing is working out for you. Try faith. Try digging ditches. Try getting some vessels. Try doing what the man of God says. Bless God, cut down the tree, throw it in the water. Whatever God says to do, do what you can do, and then let God do what He'll do. But don't come and say, we can't make it. Because there's a God in heaven who says it's a light thing for Him. Amen. God's just waiting to see what it's worth to you. God's waiting to see if you'll dig the ditch. God's waiting to see if you're ready to move forward. God's waiting to see if you really trust Him and you believe Him. You know, what is it worth to us to have this miracle take place? I wonder sometimes, you know, are we so content as a church? We're not willing to dig a ditch? We're not willing to say, God, I want to see what you can do. Hello. See, God, many, many times, you do everything you can do and then watch God do what He can do. They had no idea. Okay, they dig the ditch and they think, okay, maybe God's going to put water in here. They had no idea that those Moabites were going to see that as blood and it was going to be their defeat. They had no idea. What are the Moabites going to do? Drown in the ditch? No. God had it all figured out. Huh? Oh, this is so good. I love it. You know, Moses couldn't talk, stuttered. He was a murderer. His past wasn't very hot. Huh? But he became one of the greatest leaders the world has ever known. That's Moses. David was an adulterer and a murderer, and yet he became a man after God's own heart. Paul was a man that persecuted Christians. Paul was the guy that would come into this service and he would kill and kidnap and put in prison the leaders here. That was Paul, and became one of the greatest leaders of Christianity. Peter was a rough fisherman and became one of the greatest preachers that has ever lived. God's looking for some men. All you got to do is dig the ditches. What did Peter have to do? He had to follow the Lord. What did Paul have to do? He had to get rid of some of his prejudice. What did David have to do? You know, he had to learn to walk with God and trust Him. Moses had to be on the backside of a desert and had to learn some things from the Lord. I'm just saying this. What is it that, you know, God has told you to do? Do that. Dig the ditch. Cut down the tree. Bring in the vessels. Whatever it is. It's a light thing for God to do His part. It's just real tough to get God's people to do their part. It's not hard for Him to get the donkey to do what he's supposed to do, to get the whale to do what he's supposed to do. It's not hard for Him to tell the water to part. It's not hard for Him to get the wind to blow. It's not hard for Him to get any of these things to happen. But it sure is tough to get God's people to move. His mighty power. His mighty power. I don't know which was the greatest need, for the water to drink or the defeat of the Moabites. I don't know. But I'll be honest with you. When they dug the ditches, God already had it all figured out that both were going to be taken care of. How many times have I watched God do that very, very thing? I mean, you know, God's mighty power. I like Elisha when he goes to Dothan and his assistant pastor. Assistant pastors many times are like Elisha's assistant was. And they're surrounded by the enemy, and Elisha, you know, he's eating bacon and eggs, and well, probably not bacon, but he's eating breakfast, eating his bowl of Wheaties, and you know, he's having a good time, and the assistants go, we're gonna die, what are we? He says, what is your problem? Oh, we're surrounded, the enemy, they're all around, and you and I, they're gonna kill us. You know, I can just hear Tim saying that after some of the offerings. No, but actually, he's been pretty excited lately. But you know, and finally, Elisha says, "Lord, could you show this guy?" And around all the enemy, there were chariots of angels all around them. That makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it? You know what? It was under control all along. Samson took a jawbone of an ass, and it was a light thing for him to kill those Philistines, 1,000 of them. With a jawbone. I'm talking about a jawbone fit in his hand. And he kills them with the jawbone of an ass. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. Because that's God's power. But see, Moses, what do you have in your hand? A rod. Ah, good. Good. Use it. Huh? Hey, certain woman, what do you have in your home? I have a pot of oil. Go gather all the vessels you can. Hey, Jehoshaphat, what do you have? Well, we have some shovels. Great. Go dig the valley full of ditches. Amen. And God says, I can take care of it. Just a light thing for me. You know, what is it in your life that you need God to do? I promise you this. It's not hard for God. It's not hard for Him. the hardest thing we have to deal with. It's not getting the rocks to cry out. God's got that under control. It's not getting the water to part. He's got that under control. It's not turning the water from bitter to sweet. He's got that under control. It's not getting the wind to blow. It's not getting the fire to fire. It's not getting the sun to turn the water red. None of that's hard. That's all a light thing. You know what it is? It's getting you and I to move. That's the hardest thing. Everything else is a light thing. Let's bow our heads, please.